streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is January 2nd, 2013. We'd like to wish everybody a happy new year. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mr. Richard Carter Jr., also known as Maserati Rick Jr. He's the son of the infamous Detroit legend, Richard Maserati Rick Carter Sr. He's known for being one of the most famous drug dealers in the 80s who lived a flashy lifestyle while making millions of dollars. His death was just as big as his lifestyle because he was assassinated in the hospital while recovering from a gunshot wound. This pivotal event would change hospital regulations forever. His funeral also made newspapers and television headlines because at the time he was buried in a $16,500 Mercedes-Benz casket with gold rims and license plates. Now, having a father like that, Rick faced many different things growing up in Detroit with that kind of a background. And then his mother, Tracy, was also taken from him at the age of 15 and was sentenced to a 20 to 40-year sentence for a drug conviction. She hasn't snitched, and she's still fighting to prove her innocent. Now, Rick's story and his history is what drives him to break the cycle and to make his family name a legacy. Now, Rick has overcome a lot. Tonight, he's going to share his story with us. He's grown up, he now has his own business in music and film production, and we're going to share tonight with you some of his successes and his story, so please stay tuned, and before we bring him on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
I want to just say hello, ladies and gentlemen, and we would like to thank all our fans around the world who tunes into our radio show every week. And I also want to say, Rick was a friend of mine. Me and Rick grew up together before kids was even thought of, you know what I'm saying? We was just kids running around and doing other things, you know, stealing cars, gang banging. And then the money came after everybody got into the lifestyle, you know? And I was there when little Rick was born, you know what I mean? Little Rick was born in 86. I left Detroit in 89, so he was still a little fella when I left the city, you know what I'm saying? And his father got murdered. But without further ado, we're going to go to a track before we get to Rick. And this is my little niece. She got her little hot track out, and it's called Bright It Up. And here go right now.
Should we do her drop first?
Yeah, we're going to do her drop first, and then we'll bring her song.
I want to say thank you to the Streets Don't Love You Back. This is a song that I did with my dad. It's about never giving up. My name is Jada, and this is my new song, Bring Up the Lights.
My mama. I die. Had to figure out a way. It made me wise for my time. You can't fly to the grind, but shine without trying. If I'm home and I'ma get it treated like this thing is mine. Another day that you know won't be fair. You ain't be scared, you gotta take a chance sometime. Just go over to a take a hand, say, girl, you're gonna be mine. Cause time is on your side, but only if you hop. So what, you somewhere handicapped, Jackie, can't piss stop. Cause it might be your last lap around the oval track. You never know when it's time to go, so you need to go get that build up momentum. If it's needed, second all new, you better read it. If you believe it and you beat the book, then I suggest you heed it. Pay attention and listen so you relate to relativity. If it's your business, be busy. Flexibility, how I'm saying, what is it? Man, a machine, dirty or clean. Tell them both don't come too close. Now things ain't always what they seem. Is it a dream or reality? You never quite know with me. It's the secret of life. Anything you want will be the same.
Welcome right back here to the Streets and Love You Back radio show. And like we promised you, that's my little niece Jada with Bring Up the Lights right here, her debut single right here on our auntie and uncle's radio show.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way. So we want to get a big shout out and much love to our little niece Jada and her father LD and her mother Holly. We just want to say much love, and we're going to be spinning that song right here on the Streets and Love You Back radio show. But we still got a major, major show for you tonight. You feel me? We done changed the format a little taste going into 2013. We're going to be kicking it with the interviews, but we also going to be kicking it with the great music and the great advertising. So we're going to go right in to one of my nephew's songs. You feel me? And we're going to kick it with the Brown Sugar before we bring him on. So we're going to hit that Brown Sugar right now.
Have a dream, show some love, then take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had money, cell phone, pager. Just me and my girl listening to hip hop. Mama used to say it reminded her of bebop, but dancing to Michael, see the music is a cycle. Remembering good times, Soul Train is really a good thing. I'm feeling too good, nah. I might just need a drink, might just reminisce. I know that she feeling this. She listening to Mary J. Baby girl looking good, and she came my way. Let's play some OJ. Let's unwind, slow it down, two step. Nah, clap with me one time. She feel feeling good too, like it's summertime. Girl, I get around in my hometown. You can come too. I love you like soul food for the love that we had. Slow. I put on some Pendergrass and light up a candle. She feeling that heat wave. We danced the night away. Shout out to the DJ for playing the right one. He put on another song. It sound like Marvin Gaye or maybe some Ozzy's. No matter where we be, she be right beside me. We go good together like sugar, honey, and tea. Loving memory lane. I play her another song. Now she feeling candy rain in the soul for real. Telling her how I feel. Now she wanna take a trip with me around the world. Feeling like I'm in love. And I hope that she feel what I feel, so I know that it's real. So I know that it's real. Memory lane, yeah. Thinking of summer days, telling me how she feel, listen to Lauryn Hill, beautiful how she sings, I put on some Mal Green, getting her in the mood, not rushing into a thing, I'm feeling like Rick James, we high up Mary Jane, she the girl in my dreams, she my earth, wind, and fire, whenever we be together, no arguing with each other, music keep us together, getting us through the weather, feeling the summer breeze, call you my summer girl, like Jodeci, I'm a fiend, travel around the world, ribbon up in the sky, writing it on the wall, I put on some MJ, she my pretty young thing, we remember the time, so we had to escape down memory lane, all alone, just me and my girl with a song, that's the life that I love, come on.
Gentlemen, and welcome right back to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we're kicking it live, like I promised y'all, with my nephew, Lil Rick, and we live, living in color. Rick, you there, baby?
Yo, yo.
My man, go ahead and formally introduce yourself, nephew.
Yo, what's going on, man? I go by the name of Richard Carter Jr., also known as Maserati Rick Jr., MRJR. It's all the same. What's going on, Rob, man?
Oh, man, we just sitting here kicking it, man. This your night, baby, you know what I mean? We're going to roll all the way with the, you know, flavor of the night with all your music, baby, and let the world know that nephew coming strong in 2013. It's about pushing straight ahead. Everybody going to be knowing what's happening with your nephew, and I just want to get right at it, nephew. How do it make you feel, man, growing up and you didn't get a chance to know Big Rick, you know what I'm saying? And as a youngster growing up learning about him, how did that make you feel?
Well, at like, I'd probably say around the age of like 10, 11, 12, around, you know, those years, that's when I started hearing about, you know what I'm saying, about my father or whatever. Not even from, like, my mother or nothing, just from people, you know, in the streets, you know, and that's where I would hear most of the stories from. Like, you know, they never really was like, you know, saying too much. They'd be like, man, yo, dude was the man back in the day, or he had bread, man, or this, that, and the third. Then I say around, I was like 14, 15, that's when I really, really got a chance to learn, you know, who he was, what he was into, for real, you know, and was getting to know how he was growing up and how he came to be who he was and everything. I actually, you know, me and my brother, we end up, you know, kicking it, and he was telling me. That's where I knew about it from, you know what I'm saying, from my brother or whatever, my older brother, Kevin or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
But it's been growing up with that, you know, with that type of person as a father, it was like, I didn't know, but from the outside looking in, everybody else was looking at it like it was, you know, major. But to me, I'm like, man, I don't know who they talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they talking about. I just know, okay, you know, it is what it is to me pretty much, you know.
Right, because, you know, by you not growing up with Rick, and Rick had passed on when you was, you know, just a couple years old, you know, because Rick passed in 88, you know, you came in 86, you know. So
yeah.
you were still real young, but the stories that you heard coming up, you know, it's like, wow, you know, you just listening to this like, damn, you know, why couldn't I get to know my father, you know what I mean, if all this was jumping off, you know? And
right.
You know what I'm saying? So when did you hear from your mom, you know what I mean? When did she break it down to you, or have she ever just sit you down and kicked it all the way 100 with you about Rick?
Well, she didn't. She actually, we kicked it, but it was not like, it was like more, you know, my, like around, I was probably like 15, 16, and at this time, my mom was in prison already. And that's when we actually sat down and really, you know, she got real in detail about a whole lot of stuff and, you know, how their relationship was and how he was and what type of guy he was out here. And I'd rather have heard it from her perspective than anybody else, you know what I'm saying? Not from no friends or my uncles or nothing like that. I'd rather have heard it from her because she, you know, she was with him, you know, before he passed and all that. So it was good hearing it from her perspective. I never heard nothing like, you know, nothing flaky about, nothing bad about him from nobody, though. I can honestly say that. Everybody say, you know, he's a good dude, looked out for people when he had it, and just show love to anybody and everybody who was, you know, hey, that's Rick, you know, he gonna show love, you know, pulling up, throwing money, whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's the story that I was hearing from her, like, you know, he was wild with it, though.
Yeah, and the stories you was hearing was all real, you know what I mean? Like I said and told you off the air, but I tell you on air, you know, when we was all boxing at Crunch Gym back in the old days on Junction over there, you know what I mean? When Rick, your daddy was a Hearns Tower boy, you feel me? I mean, it was a lot of things going on then. So Rick came up through the rankings from stealing cars to, you know, being in the boxing, wanting to be a champ, but the money started coming real strong, you know what I mean? So a lot of us laid back from wanting to pursue the boxing career thing, you know what I mean? If you're making a few hundred thousand a day and then a couple million, you know, yeah, the boxing thing fall all the way to the wayside, you know what I'm saying? So that's how that was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that your mom talked to you, you know, about that, you feel me?
Right. And then not only that, though, like a lot of people didn't know, like, you know, my uncles and them, you know, they was telling me, like, the reason he really stopped boxing, he had a metal plate in his head. A lot of people didn't know that. Like, when he was a kid, he had a metal plate in his head. So he, you know, he couldn't even really box like that. He could box, but I'm saying, you know, health-wise, it wouldn't be smart to box, you know, with the plate in his head or whatever. That was the reason why I really heard why he stopped boxing.
Right, and then Greg started fighting, you know? Yeah, and then Greg wanted to box, you know?
Yeah, my uncle Greg,
yeah. It was all good, you know what I mean? I mean, we had great times back then, you know what I mean? That's when your father, he had a lot of little different stores throughout the east side and a few on the west side, you know what I mean? And car washes, I mean, he had a lot of little things going on, man, you know what I mean? And his thing wasn't to continue being no drug dealer. I can tell the world that on the phone, you know? He was a businessman and had a business mind. So he was going to pull out of all of that, you feel me? But unfortunately, that thing happened over there, you know what I mean, on 6 Mile and Schaefer over there when he got shot in the stomach, you know, and had to go to the hospital, you feel me? And that's what changed the whole game, you know, with the hospital rules. You know, I can remember just like talking to you on this phone. I can remember where I was at when that even jumped off, you feel me? We was down the way over on Gratiot when that jumped off, you know?
Right.
And that hit the city like a brick, man, falling on your head. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That didn't hurt just one person, you know, and that didn't just hurt the family. At that moment, that hurt the whole city of Detroit, you know?
Yeah, then, like, the story that I heard, you know, like, the funeral was like, was like crazy, man. It was like out of this world, man. The funeral was
They had the helicopters there. I mean, the feds was there taking pictures. I mean, everybody that was somebody and people that nobody even know, you know what I mean? So the funeral was over the way, you know what I'm saying? At the church, you know?
Yeah, off there off Mac.
Yeah, all day long, yeah. Me, Clyde, everybody was there. You know, the young cat I was telling you about, Bump, I mean, the whole squad, everybody that was somebody was there at the joint, man. And it was like a Biggie or Tupac thing. That's how big the game was. You know, people all down Mac and everywhere, you know what I mean? It was like a legend, which he was a legend, man. You know, it's like a musical legend had passed, you feel me? Except Rick was a legend in the street for hustling, you know? But his legacy was heavy, you know, because he watched out for everybody, you know what I'm saying? He didn't care who you was. If you was cool with somebody that was cool with somebody and you say, hey, man, you know, I need to get on. I mean, back in them days, it wasn't nothing to say, hey, go holler at my man and go pick that up, you know? Like, it wasn't like nowadays, you know, cats flake you out and send you across town, ain't nothing there, you know what I'm saying? But it was all 100 back then, you know?
Oh yeah, it's totally different, nah, man. But back then, it was more respect and more code to what people was doing. You know, nowadays everybody just, you know, disrespectful to their neighborhood, to their block, and it's just different, man. Nobody came up with them values these days like people used to have back in the day. You know, you would look out for you would have your block clean. If y'all on the block would be clean. You know what I'm saying? Everybody.
Oh, man, we had the guys who swept up the block, man. You know what I mean? Made sure the old ladies get their little groceries in. You know what I'm saying? The old people wasn't messed with, and especially over on Warren County Projects, you know what I mean? And down in the Brewsters and the Jeffries. I mean, you know what I mean? We was everywhere, so. The old people got taken care of, you know what I'm saying? And the young cats was under leadership, man, you know what I'm saying? Real leadership back then. Everybody knew the G-code and everybody knew what not to do and what to do. You feel me? Wasn't nobody running up in the old folks' house, breaking in old folks' house. None of that wasn't even tolerated or allowed back then, you know what I'm saying?
It
so that's why I said it got twisted.
Way more order back then, you know, it wasn't all this chaos going on.
Yes,
way
sir.
Well,
the wife want to ask you something, nephew. I'm going to put you over here to the wife, man, because like I said, we're going to spend this all the way out to the bitter end tonight, baby. Rick, in the house.
All right, yeah, and just to let you know, we do have some callers on the air. We're going to bring them on here in just a little bit, but I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more about your story. And
okay.
I wanted you to let us know a little bit, you know, since your dad wasn't there, I know that you did have some uncles, but who was your main role model growing up before your mom was taken away?
I would say, believe it or not, I mean, I'm like my whole family, we come from the east side, but at the age of 13, 14, we moved on the north end of Detroit. And, you know, anybody that's from that way and know about the north end, it's a good neighborhood and it's a bad neighborhood everywhere. But that's one of them, you know, it's known for being a bad neighborhood. But we moved over there and a lot, and my influence and, like, role models was, like, you know, it wasn't too many guys that was working 9-to-5s over there, not that I knew about. You know, all the guys I knew over there growing up was in the streets, you know what I'm saying, like my father. So those were the people that they influenced me, but they influenced me in a more positive way. Like, don't do what I'm doing just because you see me out here. You ain't got to do this. So, you know, they'd send me to the store, you know, go while they playing ball. I'd go to the store, get a couple dollars. What y'all need y'all car wash? I'll wash the car, you know, just, you know, anything to not, you know, get into the street life. And to me, that was like the influence that I had at the early teenage years as far as, you know, being out here and not having really nobody telling me, oh, you should do this, you should do that. It would be the dudes in the streets that would be giving me the right advice, like, don't do what I'm doing. Stay in school, and, you know, I see you going to school every day. Keep doing what you're doing. So that's what I would listen to and follow.
Right. And then tell us about what it was like and how you felt when your mom was taken away from you. And, you know, you can tell us the story if you want. You know, we know that there was an informant involved and some drug selling. And
Go ahead and tell
us the story.
Well, my mother's name is Tracy Lynn Cohen, and she was tried and convicted on a kingpin drug charge that sentenced her to 20 to 40 years. And this was back in 2002, September 2002. And it was basically that situation was from, you know, her being with my father in the 80s and everything. So she always was into these street guys. And but that was the downfall to her situation while she's in that, you know, predicament. Now, you know, she liked that lifestyle with those street guys. But my mother, she still was, you know, she was in school, you know, got a degree in accounting and everything. But at that time, it was just nobody expected that at all. We definitely didn't. Like, I was at home the night, you know, when the police came in the house or whatever. It was crazy. And the crazy part about it, I can remember it was a picture on our fireplace of my daddy and Demetrius on the fireplace. I don't know if they paid attention, if they, you know, even looked at it, but it sure was up. I can remember that. They had us up there in the living room. Everybody had the handcuffs on. I'm looking at the picture like, they don't even see this picture up here. They, you know, maybe they did knew, you know, who they had, who house they came in. I'm pretty sure they do their background checks and all that type of stuff. But that situation was, it was hard for everybody in the family because my mom was the one that was, she was always cooking, having people over for dinner. You know, she always took care of anybody, kids that wanted to come over and eat and everything. She was a real, you know, giving, loving person or whatever. So it was hard when, you know, when she got into her situation, she definitely had everybody behind her. But, like, now, today, I was 15 when that happened. I was 10 years ago. So she's been in there 10 years of my life, and it's actually been, it's been a little rocky, but it's been more good, you know, than bad, because me and her actually got to know each other way more being apart than we did when she was out. You know, that's crazy, but that's exactly how our relationship, you know, turned from then to now. We actually got closer, like, we able to talk about stuff, and she's able to tell me more about, you know, if I ask her something about my dad or whatever, she'd tell me with no problem without, you know, without it having to be, you know, non-descriptive or whatever. She'd tell me in detail if I asked her about it. But that situation was very hard for everybody. You know, my two sisters, we all had to really, like, stick together in this situation because it really wasn't nobody just, here, let me help y'all with this, let me help y'all with that. You know, after a while, everybody just was like, you know, left my mom for dead in her situation. And this, you know, it's sad because you got to think about it. Like, everybody who she helped, a lot of those people haven't even wrote her, haven't even, you know, tried to go see her in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So I understand, you know, like, what she's going through mentally. I know she's going through a lot. And it's, for me, to be doing positive things out here and, you know, going to speak to the youth at the high schools and doing music and everything, for me, doing what I'm doing is helping her, you know, do her time a little bit better because, you know, it's she just wants to know that her children out here doing something with themselves and not just out here just you know, being reckless or whatever. So, you know, it always makes her happy to know that I'm out here doing something good and my sisters is doing something good with theyself and everything like that. So for her situation, it's just one of those things we all have to just deal with, you know, at the end of the day. There's really nothing nobody could really do, like, to help her situation because she was tried and convicted. And, you know, she took it to trial, which I honestly now – I don't think she should have done that. I wish she would have, you know, just took whatever they was going to give her. She probably would have been out, you know, a couple years ago or whatever. But, you know, that's just the way things happen with that situation. It's real. It's a whole lot extra, but, you know, I don't want to really put my mom's situation out there like that. It is what it is, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And what advice would you give to teenagers that are maybe in the position that you are in, that, you know, you don't have dad there, or maybe mom and dad are both gone? What advice could you give them?
Well, first, like, at an early age, when I was, you know, I found out that, okay, I'm not by myself, but you don't have to hold my own. I just started surrounding myself with positive people because I grew up around a lot of negativity, but I always would surround myself around different people that was, you know, doing different things. So actually, I say around the age of 17, 18, I got off into doing music because that's what my brother was into. So I kind of, like, picked that up along the way from him, and that was kind of like my outlet and my release to get away from everything that was going on around me. So I just used something that, you know, something positive other than being around all these street different type of people and not hanging around the wrong crowd like everyone else or being a follower. I always did my own thing and stayed out of the way of, you know, trouble and stuff like that by being around, you know, people that's into the same thing I was into, like music, and I would try to go be at the studio as much as possible or just be writing music to instrumentals or whatever just to keep my mind off of stuff or to go play ball or something just to get away from things that was going on around me, like, or even when I was in high school, because my mom, she went to prison, I was still in high school. I was a junior in high school. So I can remember I went to school the very next day, you know, after our house got raided. Like, it never happened. I ended up leaving early school because it was just too much. But I left school early that day, and I can remember, like, everybody saw, like, the look on my face. It was just something wrong, but I didn't say nothing to nobody. I said something to, like, one person, my homeboy Kurt. That's like, my best friend or whatever. He was the only one that was, you know, riding with me, kicking it with me, like, man, you know, because he's the only person that, you know, he met my mom, he used to be over there or whatever, so he was like, man, what happened? I heard what happened, and, you know, he was another person that really kept me away from everything, and then I would either go over to my brother's house or my stepmom's house, my dad's wife or whatever, and just be around a more positive environment to keep my mind off, you know, what had happened to my mom or whatever. And a lot of kids that's growing up now, because I have been into the Detroit public high schools and I've spoke and actually sat in these classrooms and talked to these students, and it's a lot of kids that have single-parent household, no-parent household at all. They taking care of themselves or they taking care of little brothers and sisters and stuff like that. And I looked at my situation like, wow, they might be going something way more tougher than I was with no help. And I had a little bit of help. I had a lot of help, you know what I'm saying? But I just look at those situations like, you know, they just have to stay positive and keep pushing. Don't let nothing really stop. If you got dreams, you got to just don't let your personal life get in the way of your dreams. I know that's hard to say, but it's something you just got to just push through with. And I just want to tell, like, all the young youth out there that the world is bigger than your neighborhood, your block, and your community. It's a whole world out there that you can go see once you get an opportunity to do it. You know what I'm saying? You just got to just follow your heart with it. You can't be sitting back thinking and debating like, oh, should I do it? You got to just go and see what happens, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that's what I would, you know, tell all the right. youngsters out there trying to do their thing or whatever, just stay positive with it, man.
Right. That's right. You know, and for those that are stuck in situations and don't, you know, haven't really sat down and looked at their goals and set, you know, their mind at what they want, they just need to, you know, seek further and look out there and try to find, you know, their dreams and work hard for them and don't let anybody stop you.
Oh yeah, and then another thing, you know, most important, you gotta have that relationship with God, cause He wouldn't put you in nothing that you can't handle. Cause I didn't mm-hmm. lost my brother, my mom, uncles, you know, friends, and you know my brother Kevin, my dad's son, other son or whatever, he passed away my senior year of high school actually, in a car accident. And a lot of people don't even notice, but it's weird and it's damn near scary at the same time, because him and my father passed away on the exact same day, September the 12th. Six days before my birthday. You know, and they both died in the same hospital. So that was just like, you know, that was like my brother.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was, especially for, like, my family who was there, you know, when the thing happened to my father. Everybody was just like, no, you know, people was just didn't know what to really think of that. But, I mean, to me, I'm still, you know, I think about it all the time because, you know, that was my only brother. And me and him didn't, like, grow up together. My mom didn't really let me go around, you know, his mom or whatever, I guess they didn't get along like that. So we would have to sneak and meet up at my dad's wife's house, my stepmom. We would have to sneak and meet up over her house to see each other until I got about 15, 14. Then, you know, it was pretty much, you know, I can go over there whenever I want to. But when my brother passed away, my brother was into music. He was rapping, you know, writing and everything. So that's kind of where I picked up my whole music thing from. You know, I used to watch him or whatever, but I didn't start till like a couple of years later. But, you know, when that happened to my brother, I'd say that was like the most second toughest thing I was going through. This is all when I was in high school. My mom went to jail junior year. My senior year, coming into my senior year, 6 days before my 17th birthday, my brother passed away. So that was, like, real hard. I had to go to my brother's funeral 2 days after my birthday. It was just, like, wow, you know. And what actually kept me sane, I guess, school. I still was going to school. You know, I didn't stop going to school. I could have easily just been like, oh, no, I don't got to go to school. I quit and all this. I stayed going to school, graduated on time, went to college for a minute and everything. So, like I said, that goes back to, you know, doing something positive. I didn't want to just stay at home, and because if I stayed at home, that's going to make me think about my mom if I sit in the house all day. So if I go to school and be around people and my friends and, you know, we all having a good time, it just keep my mind off of everything. And school was real important at that time for me. I really was like, this is where I need to be, and this is what I'm going to do. And just to, you know, I didn't want to end up like a lot of people who I, like, grew up with. I'm 26 now. I was 15, 16 when that happened. My brother didn't, you know, he's not here to see 26. He didn't even live to see 18. You know, he was only 17 when he passed away. So, and a lot of people, like, who I grew up with, a lot of people not here, they either dead or in jail, you know what I'm saying? So I look at it like, for me to be here now and, you know, telling my story, and I'm able to speak on experiences that I went through, it's definitely a blessing. I just got to say, you know, God wouldn't put me through none of this if He knew I couldn't handle it. And that's pretty much the main thing where I really want to just let people know. Like, you really got to have that good relationship with God and yourself, you know, spiritually. That's real important, too.
Exactly. You know, Rick, we have the switchboard lit up here, so we're going to start taking a few calls. We're going to take the caller with the last four digits, 2098.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
Caller, you're on the air. last four digits, 098. You're on the air. All right, we're going to go. Maybe they were just listening, so hopefully they'll call back in. We lost them. But we're going to go to the next caller online, last four digits, 0679. Calling in the air.
Last four digits, 0679, you're on the air.
Wow, what's going on with everybody's phone?
Yeah, you know, nobody want to speak. Yeah. We're going to go to last four digits, 5891. You're on the air.
Yeah,
you're on the air, Cole.
Hello?
Yeah,
yo,
you're on the air, Cole. We good,
what's
man.
Up,
welcome to the show.
How you doing? What's up, man? And I told y'all, let's man chime in on you.
Okay. Yo, Rob, this is my man's old love, man. He real, hey, real down brother, man. This dude been helping me a lot, man, as far as my music and, you know, getting my mental together. Like, this dude really played a big, huge part, man, you know, and, oh, love, man. That's my man. He from Detroit. You know, he real heavy on the hip hop scene. He got 20 years in the game management. Detroit.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, we loving that, Dan, man. Well, I'm glad you been a big part of what nephew got going on, you know. And
we gotta keep it positive for the youth, you know. Working with all of that work, where I feel like that was really, really important to, you know what I'm saying, play a part in developing and nurturing the talents as well as, you know, everything else involved with this guy.
My man, we definitely appreciate that, good brother, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, get something to me, man, you know what I mean? Get something to me on the email on the MP3 so we can start spending something you got going on as well, you feel me?
Okay, for sure.
Yeah, also, you know, we want you to hang tight with us tonight, okay? If you got time, we want you to hang with us and ride it out with us tonight, all right?
Yeah, I'm listening all the time. I'm online and multitasking, listening, everything. I'm
That's
reading
what it is,
and posting everything. People
That's
trying
what
to
I like to hear then. So,
hey, man, my man, oh, love, man, for real. Hold me down all the way, though, for real, though.
I love you. So
I'm on the line now.
Definitely nephew night, baby. You feel me?
Yeah, I'm on the line with a guy now in New Zealand talking about getting you out there to do some speaking, man. New Zealand and Australia. I'm trying to put it together for you now.
Sounds beautiful, man. We appreciate that, you know. So we're gonna keep the ball rolling, like I said, and like me and the missus promised you, tonight is your night, baby, and the whole night we're gonna be spinning. For my nephew, baby, Maserati Rick Jr. in the house. You feel me? So we're going to come with your next song, baby, and it's called Ain't Nothing Like Home. Let's go.
It's my joint.
Home, so I'm back, y'all. Now I've seen a lot of things and been a lot of places. clubs in the big three, but it's all love to me. 8 miles, 7 miles, 6 miles, 4-1, Schoolcraft, Telegraph, that's Westside love. Van Dyke, grass shit, meringue, and charmless, Jefferson. Them Eastside thugs, whole city walk around, mean ones, something hard for them hoes, so fresh, so clean, for them auto shows. Come fly with your mans one time, get drunk, get high, put your hands in the sky. Let me see you two-step and get your hustle on.
Ladies and gentlemen, and like we promised you, baby, we was going to bring Nephew in the house tonight, and that's ain't nothing like home to me, you feel me? And that's Detroit all day, every day. Nephew spit that one strong and heavy, you feel me? So we're going to come back to Nephew, and Nephew, let him know what's happening with this track right here, baby. Ain't nothing like home.
Oh, well, that right there produced by Silent Riot. Out of Detroit, and actually, when I wrote that song, I was actually at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, at basic training when I actually wrote that song. I was homesick. I was ready to come home. I was trying to do the Army thing for a minute, and I just was like, you know, I'm kicking it with dudes from everywhere, from people from all over the country. I'm like, well, let me tell y'all about where I come from, because they asking me about Eminem and all this crazy stuff. I'm like, no, let me tell you where I come from, and I'm going to give it to y'all real simple, because I was in there. I rapped the whole song while I was in there. I was like, oh, I can't wait to record this when I come home. And when I got there, that was like the first song I recorded, and it just, you know, that's how it came out, and I just kept it. Like, that's, you know, it's one of them songs that I get straight to the point. I tell you about, you know, this Detroit, you know, everybody know the Dirty Club, and, you know, everybody from Detroit, you know, they know, let's go downtown, we're going to go to the mall, you know, east side, west side, and it's just one of them feel-good songs, too, at the same time, make you feel good about where you come from, make you feel good about your city, wherever you from, you know, just one of them, ain't nothing like home.
You know? My man, and we got another call on the line, Nephew. And we're going to go to last four digits, 4011.
Okay.
What's up, y'all? This is Dennis,
man. You on the line.
What up? This is D-Velt Jr. Dennis. Rick, I remember when I did Rick on West Side. I'm his media dude.
Yeah, that's my man's.
That's
Rob, it's Dennis,
man.
Hey, Rob, I'm the one that's been emailing you all week.
Oh, that's what it is then, man. I appreciate that, man, because like I told my nephew, I say, man, nephew, I say, your man be on point, man, when you ask him to shoot me something. So I just want to tell you on live radio, man, that, yeah, you definitely a good cat with nephew, baby, because you on point every time he asks you to send me something, and that's the kind of guy I respect, you feel me? Not wanting to take 2 weeks to send something in 1 second, you know? So much love, homie.
Yeah,
look, like I was telling
it.
You the other day, his uncle and my dad, you know, they was tight. His uncle Tom or whatever, man. He'd tell you about that though. That's a, you know.
Yeah, that's like another story. Like it's a how two generations link back up. Like my uncle, I found the old like Rick had a picture and I didn't know who it was or whatever at the time. And I was like, damn, that looked like my uncle. And it was his dad. And I was like, wait a minute. So I had to take it to my grandma because my uncle passed before his daddy
right.
passed. And my grandma confirmed it was my Uncle Jerome with his daddy with his shirt off. They had the jerry curl.
The
and his dad had his swag.
Back in the day. So that's a good look, baby. You feel me? And we're looking forward to doing great things this year, man, you know, in this 2013.
Oh, yeah. We
definitely left you. Yeah, we're going
to
pop
yeah, we
this
definitely
thing.
About to. We definitely about to go strong. I know he got the MaseratiRedJr.com. His website is up. And then he on Instagram. So, ladies, all that, y'all can go on his Instagram at MaseratiRedJr. And then the Twitter is MaseratiRedJr. too. And Facebook is MaseratiRedJr.
My man. So, and did you get the other information I sent you about making his reservation page?
Oh, yeah. We definitely got I got that email. And then his
good.
Song, the Brown Sugar song, is now on hotnewhiphop.com. So y'all can search it on there. And it's available for download right now.
My
yeah, man. Yeah, and that's a popular hip-hop website right now. So we're trying to get him back to Detroit because we got to finish business. Like, we got to hit the weight room because, like, him and his partner, Ray Carter, launched the company Masters of the Crab Entertainment, Jamil Folks. So we got the Eyes on the Crown compilation dropping in 2013, which is this year now. So we definitely going to push the Brown Sugar Ain't Nothing Like Home song because we got the compilation coming in the spring. Or I mean, we aiming for the summer or the fall, whichever falls first, though.
Right. Well, you already know, man. You're going to make sure that the Streets Don't Love You Back play that song first right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. So you're going to make sure you get that to us as soon as you're ready for it to get spent, and we go ahead and take this thing worldwide, baby, you know?
Yeah. And shout out to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Dig that. We appreciate that, homeboy. We appreciate that all day, you feel me? So we want you to hang in there with us, you feel me? And hold on, we got another caller for young Rick. You hang in there. And keep rolling with us, all right?
All right.
My man.
All right, then.
We're going to go to the last four digits, 7412. Call is on the air.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah,
you're
hi,
on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm calling to say, first of all, Rob and Lucinda, thanks for everything that you guys do with the Streets Don't Love Me Back movement. I read Rob's book. I loved it. I wanted to congratulate Richard and tell him keep up the good work. Yes, Father is very legendary. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm listening to the show right now as we speak, and we will be out here to support him and continue to support you all as a whole. And may Allah bless you guys.
My
thank
man,
you.
I appreciate that. And I think that's me and my wife's homegirl, Miss Danielle, ain't it?
Yeah, it is me.
Yeah, we
put me on
blast. Yeah, we want to give a big shout out to Miss Danielle that supports the movement. She bought both of my books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and The Never Hit a Woman. And all the people on the line that don't know about my book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, that book is about my life growing up in the city of Detroit off the east side. And also growing up with Lil Rick's father as well. So Maserati is also in my book as well. So Demetrius, everybody, you know what I'm saying, off the east side and
yes.
west side, who we was all getting crazy money back in the day. So if you ain't picked up a copy of that book, you can go to my man Ice over there in Northland, you know what I mean, and get a copy of that book. You know, if he ain't got it, just nephew will tell you to holler at me. You feel me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep,
over there in Greenfield Plaza, Harlem World Music and Video.
All day, you feel me? So anything you would like to ask Lil Rick, Danielle?
No, I would just like to encourage him to continue to do what he's done. I know that there's been a lot of love lost for all of us coming from the Detroit city. And just keep being positive and keep pushing, because you got a lot of support out here ready to help you along your way, okay?
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. That means a lot, for real.
That's without a doubt, Ms. Danielle. We appreciate you calling in. And Ms. Danielle, she's been supporting me and the mistress from day one with the movement. And when I told her out there on Facebook that Lil Rick would be on the show tonight, she was overwhelmed to call in and be a part of this classic show right here to meet Maserati's son, Lil Rick, in the house, you know? And just like we promised everybody, we're going to keep the show rolling. And this is a hot, hot year, 2013, that me and the Queen got popping. And we're going to go to the book commercial right quick, and then we're going to go to a song, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, and we are getting that together right now. But sometime I'll be on cue, and the missus, you know, be sitting back chilling. But we're doing our thing in 2013, and we both chilling over here, having a great time, you know. So anyway, we're going to go to my man, Rick. We're going to do what we need to do with him tonight, and we're going to put that on hold, and we're going to go to Bad by Myself.
Hey, this is my other joint right here. I like this right here. This is my joint.
Hold on tight.
Okay.
Meditate. Then I walk on water. I feel like smoking, so I hit up quarter. The birdies play like a Laker, so I'm James Worthy. Made some mistakes, so I know I ain't perfect. My common sense makes sense in a whole lot of dollars. If you can't do the math on that, then you got a problem. I don't need no apology. It's probably what my problem is. I really just ignore this shit. I don't even acknowledge it. Now all of a sudden, everybody wanna be my friend. Showing them fake smiles, trying to shake my hand. I don't need that love, cause the shit ain't what it used to be. I used to be so cool, now I'm mad and my temper is turned up to the max.
I don't care what nobody say, cause I'ma do it anyway. I can't think about nobody else, cause I could do bad all by myself. I don't care what nobody say, cause I'ma do it anyway. I can't think about nobody else, cause I could do bad all by myself. I don't care what nobody say, cause I'ma do it.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back hottest radio show worldwide, and that's Nephew popping again with Bad By Myself. You heard me? So we're going to kick it off, and we're going to keep rolling, and we're going to go to one commercial and come back with Nephew, and we're having a great time tonight. Hold tight.
Yeah.
The money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd. A must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide. And we got another caller for you, Nephew. We got all ones in the house. Calling you on the air.
It's my last one?
Yeah, you're on the air. They must be just listening, Nephew. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's all good, then. We want everybody to keep hanging in there. And, Nephew, where do you want, you know, people to see what you're doing in your life as far as your life from Big Rick's life? You know what I mean? Let people know that ball and chain that you already done broke and what you want to portray your life as.
Well, you know, everyone knows, you know, my father had his own lifestyle, but for me, I carry his name. You know, it's something I inherited, and a lot of people from the outside looking in, you know, they thinking it's all good, it's all glitz and glamour, like, oh, that's Maserati Rick's son, and this, that, and the third. They, you know, they got their assumptions and or whatever, but for myself personally, I just want to, you know, I shed a little bit of light on his lifestyle and what he was about and everything, but at the same time, I have to walk in my own shoes and I guess blaze my own trail out here, you know, make my own name instead of trying to, you know, live off his accomplishments and his name and, you know, what he was doing in the streets, because that's not even, you know, what I'm about or whatever. And I just want to just, you know, spread this positive message to people and give them this good music and tell them that, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, as long as you're alive and you're breathing and, you know, you're well, you got your health, you can do whatever you want to. And don't let nobody tell you that you can't do it, because, you know, that's what gets me pumped up the most, when people tell me what I can't do, because I'm going to do the exact opposite. That's what, I'm going to do exactly what you told me what I can't do, just to show you that I can do it. And pretty much, man, that's what I've been doing so far with this whole music thing. And, you know, me and Dennis, man, we've been working hard these past year and a half, 2 years, just trying to get the, we showing the positive side of the whole Maserati Rick lifestyle, the legend, the, you know, the side that people glorify the most, which is the drugs and the money and the cars and all that. That's not what's important. What's important was that, you know, I want to tell people that I don't have my father around. You know what I'm saying? That's what's important. I don't have my mother around in my life, which is, it's a lot of people take that for granted. And that's what bothers me, because a lot of people, they have their parents and grandparents and, you know, uncles and stuff like that that's still around and alive, and they, you know, they taking it for granted. And I'm like, y'all don't know how good y'all really got it. They looking at me, looking at, you know, the name and everything. They think it's all good, but it's really, the grass ain't that green on this side. You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, I just be chilling, man. I don't be, you know, I don't be all extra with it. I just, you know, I'm just trying to just maintain it and do the right thing, because a lot, it's so easy to do the wrong thing. So I've never been a follower, always been a leader, always walked in my own shoes and, you know, walked to the beat of my own drum, basically. So that's basically what I want to just tell people. Just do your own thing. Be true to yourself and be a leader. Don't be a follower. Don't follow the trend because it's hot. You know, do you. You know, have to, you know, just do you, and that it'll get you a long way in trying to follow a trend or whatever. So that's all I really want to say about that. About, you know, stay positive. And I'm basically, to me, I already broke the cycle. I already broke the cycle a long time ago, just making that choice not to follow in my dad's footsteps a long time ago.
Amen.
You know, early, cause, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I was around it, you know what I'm saying? I was around it so much, it was so easy for me to fall in that trap, which is what they call it, a trap, because that's exactly what it is. But I always, you know, I looked from the sideline, I guess you could say, and just watched everybody else just, you know, everybody going to jail and getting shot and doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, man, come on, man. That's not for me. My mom in jail, my dad, I already know where that road is going to take me. So for me, I just stayed on the outside looking in, I guess. You know, that's pretty much, you know, what I was doing.
Well, and that, you know, your dad was a legend in the streets, you know, for a period of time. And that lifestyle, like you said, took both parents away from you and left your family devastated, you know, and for, you know, friends, so many family members and friends were killed or put in prison, you know, through all that time. And, you know, like I said, your dad was a legend at that time, but now it's up to you to build a legacy, and that's your future.
Amen. Right. And, you know, even though I just want to say, like, even though my father, he did what he did, and it was, you know, it was a lot of casualties in his lifestyle that lost their lives and family members was lost. Also, it's not just, oh, we getting this money, we doing this, doing that. You know, a lot of people, a lot of other, you know, people lost their fathers and uncles and brothers to that lifestyle that probably was involved with my dad also, you know what I'm saying? So that is, it kind of bothers me a little bit, because I'm like, damn, okay, you know, I'm sure my father, you know, he was the man on here, so I'm sure he was responsible for some losses on other people's end too, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's the sad part about it, because it's like, you know, everybody glorified him, but you know, at the same time, I'm looking at it like you got to look at people for their rights and their wrongs at the same time. Don't just look at, oh, he had money, he was doing this, and he was just a good guy. You got to look at the reality of it. Like, you know, I'm sure he, I mean, even though it's probably something that he had to do, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing personal. It was probably just business, and, you know, he probably didn't, you know, did some stuff that, you know, it wasn't good. But that comes along with that lifestyle. And I understood that at a young age because I've been around and I understood from the guys that was telling me, like, you know, this not what you want to do, trust me. You know what I'm saying? This not good. And then my mom's situation, really, that hit very close to home because it was like, you know, she wasn't directly involved in nothing. She just was a casualty of, I guess, a casualty of the situation that she was in. So, you know, that was just, she was just a victim, I guess, you know. But that's pretty much, you know, the situation, how everything panned out to.
Well, your dad was a businessman and he was a leader. You know, he just got caught up in the wrong things, as so many people did in the country at that period of time throughout the whole United States, you know, with the drug scene, you know, the way it was at that time. It'll never, ever happen again like that. It was, you know, just that one era. And, you know, so many people got caught up in it. And that's why we have so many people in prison right now and so many people dead in the streets. And that's what we're all fighting together to change, you know, to let the youth know that you don't have to live in the streets. You don't have to sell drugs. You don't have to be homeless. You know, there's people out here that will help you. And don't give up, you know, follow your dreams, you know, move ahead. Don't be afraid to make those moves where you can get ahead and do something different. Be different than, you know, the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Be a leader. Like Rick said, you know, he's trying to be a leader right now and he's becoming a successful leader. And, you know, we're really proud of you and we know your mom's proud of you. You know, we communicate with your mom in prison. We get letters from her and we write her and she's really proud of you for what you're doing. Definitely. And so is your Uncle Greg and your big cousin Chick. I mean, all of them, they've been on the show. They've said how proud they are of you and we know your mom's proud of you and we know your dad's proud as well.
Yeah. My mom though, man, that's one thing I do appreciate from, you know, you and Rob, because a lot of people don't understand how hard it is being in prison, being behind the walls and locked up, and people just leave for dead. And like I said, she's been in there 10 years, and there's been a lot of people that she done helped and looked out for and took care of, you know, been friends with for 20 years. And they just act like they don't even know who she is anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it bothers me because, you know, they ask me how, they want to ask me when I see him or bump into him somewhere, they say, how your mom doing? Deep down inside, I want to say, you can write her and ask her yourself or go see her and ask her yourself. Don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, for real, I want to know, how would you feel if you've been in jail 10 years for some shit you didn't do? You know what I'm saying? How would you feel? What you mean, how am I doing? I'm not doing good. I'm in jail, you know? You get three meals in your little time or whatever, but come on, ain't nothing like being out here in the world. So, you know, I just, you know, to people that's in prison, man, that's one place, you know, you don't want to go. You rather be out here, you know, doing something good with yourself, man, trying to get your life together, because that's one thing that I have come to learn. Being out here, like, this is definitely a luxury, I guess you could say, to me, because, you know, I could have easily went down the same path, or, you know, I could have been in that car where my homeboy was riding around in the stolen car or something. I could have been in that car. I could have been in the car accident with my brother, which was crazy because we actually got in the car accident a year before on my brother's birthday, man, no lie, August 6th, my brother's birthday, my brother Kevin, he driving his mom's friend, old school, Cutlass 442, the same car he, you know, he got an accident in. They got an accident in. The guy that was driving was actually drunk and ran a stop sign, and, you know, that's how that situation happened. But we actually got in a car accident in that same car that my brother got an accident in. In the same car. The car sat in the driveway for a whole year. And it was crazy because I can remember my brother calling me, man, that same day. And I was supposed to go pick him up. We supposed to go hang out. It was my senior swing out. And we was about to go hang out with everybody at the movies or something like that. I went to go home, changed my clothes, and I called him back. And his mama was like, he in the car with shoot. They got the Cutlass fixed. I said, what? You know what I'm saying? It just, I'm like, huh? They got the car fixed. I've been in the driveway for like a whole year. So, I mean, and then I got that other phone call, like they got in a car accident. I just didn't believe it. I'm like, hold on. We got in a car accident in that same car. They got in another car accident? You know what I'm saying? Wow. That's all the, yeah, I was like, they got another car accident in that same car. They're like, yeah, you know, dude was drunk. He was driving the car, whatever. And my homeboy pulled up back up to the school, and he was telling me, I was like, huh? He was like, yeah, man, your brother got in the car accident. He up at Sinai Grace. He took me up there, and it was just like, I don't know. I think my mind just went blank. Like, I don't know. It was just still like a shock. I still didn't. I was like, yeah, okay, he good. That's my bro. He good. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, he's straight. You know what I'm saying? But, like, when, you know how when the doctor come in and they, you know, they make their announcement, you know, he passed on or whatever. You know, they let us go down there, and, like, he was still, it probably was about a good 5 or 10 minutes after he passed away, he was still, like, in the bed on the machines and everything. And everybody around me was crying, my sister, everybody, my aunties, everybody was crying. And honestly, I'm holding my brother's hand, man, and it was just like, I couldn't cry. I no matter how much I wanted to, I tried, I just couldn't let it out because it was just like, I had this, in my mind, I'm like, I was just remembering everything we did. You know, that's all that was going through my mind, all the times that me and him had. It wasn't a bad moment. We always laughed, had fun. That's my bro. Like, you know, we only, like, less than, like, a month apart. He was born in August. I was born in September. But, you know, we was, like, once we got together, it was, like, you know, like two bombs or something like that. Like, that was my man. So, but it was just, like, he was wild, though, man. Like, and it's crazy because, you know, even though he was into the music thing, which at that time I thought it was whack. I'm like, man, you rap, man, at like 16. I'm like, man, nobody want to rap, man. I'm like, you know, nobody want to hear that, what you're talking about. But now that I think about it, I look back, I'm like, man, now I see, you know, I see what he was trying to do back then. Right. He was just young. Now I see, like, okay, he trying to, like, change the whole Maserati Rick Jr. legend, the whole Maserati Rick, just the whole situation was, I see what he was trying to do. So, right. But I didn't take it serious until, you know, I was about 18, 19. I was like, okay. Because at 19, I was, when I got kicked out of school, I got kicked out of Becker College in Flint. You know, I was out here, and I was smoking weed on campus. Wow, just stupid stuff. You know, just kids. I mean, teenager stuff, I guess. And, got kicked out of school. I came back home, and I started doing music. My homeboy, Terry Teezy, man, he showed me how to make beats. And I was like 18, 19 years old. He showed me how to make beats on the equipment or whatever. And from that day, I was just like, this is what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I want to do music. And I always been, like, a fan of music, but I never really thought, like, I never really was, like, I never wanted to be, like, the rapper, because that junk was just, I don't want to be no rapper, man. I'll just make beats and just stay in the background and just get my money that way. But it was just, I was going through the motions of, should I rap or should I make beats? You know what I'm saying? So I was just, yeah. Like, well, I wanna make beats, but I'm good at rapping. I'm better at rapping than I was at making beats. That's what all the feedback I was getting. So
right.
Like, okay, I'm gonna try this rap thing for a minute, and I don't know. I just working on my craft, just writing to my beats, and just trying to come up with different ways for me to express myself and be original at the same time, without trying to sound like somebody else or trying to be all just like extra street with it, or just, you know, I was kicking the positive, you know, I was kicking real positive. Me and my homeboy, we came out with the Mastermind, so we was the Mastermind. And we was the Mastermind. We was like 18, 19, and you know, it was hard to get to get our music out, because we wasn't talking about, you know, going to the club. We wasn't talking about none of that. We was talking about the kicking the positive, the real, what was going on out here. And I don't know, for some reason, people was not trying to hear that, man. It was a tough fight, I guess. People weren't trying to hear that, man. And it just was like, you know, as the years passed, I had to learn how to actually make songs that you can dance to and people can actually listen to. So I had to look at it like, okay, let me take my personal life, take that out the equation. And then as of a couple of months ago, this is, I wrote the song Ain't Nothing Like Home. And, you know, people started hearing the song around the city or whatever. And Dennis, the guy who actually just called in, I mean, that's how me and him actually hooked up. He heard the song. My friend paid him the song, and he actually wanted to shoot the video for it. So that's how me and him linked up. And then, like I said, like he told you, I brung him some pictures that I had, and he was like, man, that looked like, you know, my uncle or whatever. So that's how me and him, we just been working ever since then. And, yeah, man,
so
that, and that dude right there, man, when I say he got an eye as far as the visual with the all my pictures, my website, the videos, that's the vision right there. You know what I'm saying? He keep me on my toes, for real. Like,
well,
my
man.
Life, though. Yeah,
well, we need somebody like that at all times, you feel me? And we're gonna let you chill for a minute, nephew, and like I said, we're going hard tonight with all nephew songs tonight. So we want everybody to lean back, and we're going to hit y'all with that Mr. Junior.
Mm-hmm. MRJR.
Of Detroit, city's finest, but it's you better pay attention to the story. Blowing out smoke and I breathe, feeling it's potent. It's weed, it's too easy to do all of the wrong things. See this weed, I inhale, but it helps to relieve all the tension and stress. Now I'm like, what's next? Now I'm like, what's next? Went from Maserati Rick to Revolutionary Rick. Please believe they coexist, but of course that's really not important. And my father was distributing the shit in portions. But of course that's really not important. If you need some entertainment, I'm giving you all or nothing. You call it something for nothing. Some niggas hustle for nothing. Take it for what it's worth. It's worth much more.
M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen.
I'm chillin', money folding. Even if I don't fit the description of a drug dealer, I used to be musty, trust me. Now I spit sick, I'm a fly MC like Dusty. So these haters stay lost in the sauce like ingredients. I move with expedience and discipline, I got it. My profit is the knowledge, as a prophet I am conscious. Plus I'm looking like my father, and I act just like him. But I'm no drug dealer, see I'm a soul healer. My words is spiritual poetry, flowing like the ocean or the seven seas. Fuck the money and the fame. See, my name is my name, and the game is the game. So you better know the name, and you better know the difference, just in case I forgot to mention. That's cause everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. They never wanna listen.
Know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking, but they never wanna listen. M-R-J-R, know the name, know the difference. See why everybody talking.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back to the Streets Don't Love You Back, hottest radio show worldwide. And that's Nephew, other hot single, Mr. JR, you feel me? Tell us about that, Nephew.
Oh, man, that song right there, pretty much, that song was actually produced by my homeboy Ant Beats. That's a Trick Nephew, hot on the beats, man, great producer. And I actually recorded that song on my birthday, man, last year, a year ago. And it was just, I don't know, it's not really a song to me. It's more of a, I'm just making a statement and telling you who I am, what it is I'm about. That's why, you know, the one line I said, went from Maserati Rick to Revolutionary Rick. Please believe they coexist. And that's pretty much, like, that's one of my favorite lines out the whole song or whatever, because that is a strong statement. Not only is just giving you the hardcore truth about, you know, this is what I am, this is where I come from, but this is what I am. And that's pretty, you know, M-R-J-R, you know the name, know the difference.
Yeah, it is, you feel me? And they definitely getting to know the difference tonight, Nephew, right here on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You know, like I told you and I told the fans, we was going to be playing some of your bangers tonight. And, you know, after the show, people will be able to go listen to the show 24/7, you feel me, and check out some of them great bangers that Nephew got out here, you feel me, Young Maserati Jr. Carter, you feel me? So it's all real. It's all about that business. And he coming 2013 strong. He already done kicked the dough in right here at the Streets and Love You Back radio show. So I'm going to pass the mic to the missus, and we're gonna keep this phenomenon going.
Okay.
All right. Rick, tell us a little bit about your future plans. We know that you're working on a documentary and a possibly a book. So tell us what your plans are.
Well, first I've been me and my manager and partners or whatever, we've been working on compilation album called Eyes on the Crown with Masters of the Craft Entertainment. And right now we still in the getting the music right, because I'm not putting out nothing unless it's, you know, right. It has to be, you know, the right music. That's why the first single that we put out was Brown Sugar, and following that will be the Ain't Nothing Like Home coming from me. And we have another artist that they've been working with, Chris Surf or whatever, and we can get you some of his tracks. He got a hot single right now called Only One Thing on My Mind. It's real hot. It's real different. It don't sound like your typical music that's out here right now. And pretty much, like, as far as me, myself, my projects I'm working on, yes, I'm working on, well, me and Dennis, we have shot bits and pieces of the documentary about my life called Through My Own Eyes, which will have a soundtrack in the book to come along with it. And hopefully we can have that out by July 31st, which is my dad's birthday, of 2013. Pretty much just got to just work, and get these projects out by these dates that we have set. And just looking to do shows, get the music out here, do some speaking engagements with Rob, you know, get some, you know, some real positive, get this message out here, man, kicking this positive, kicking the real.
That's right. So the documentary, is that going to come out before the soundtrack and the book, or about the same time?
I haven't really quite decided that yet, but hopefully I want to. It could be like a package deal. We just give you, you know, put all of it out that way. You get everything, and like you know, you can get the like deluxe edition, or you can just get the book with the soundtrack, or you can get all of it. I don't know. Whatever we decide to do is definitely going to be a great presentation, because with everything that, you know, that we've been putting out up until this point, it's been well thought out and strategic with everything that we've been doing. It's not just, oh, we're going to shoot this video and put this song out and put this out. You know, we actually put thought into the Brown Sugar. I actually sat down and, okay, this is the song I want to put out. This is the type of song I want to put out for my first debut single, because it's one of these songs. It's not excluding nobody out. It's universal. You don't have to be a young person to listen to it. You don't have to be a street person to listen to it. You can be young, old, a kid, a baby, and you're gonna understand the song, because it's you know, we're speaking about love, and love is universal. So that's the first thing we want to get out there, is, you know, show some love. So, you know,
right.
But at the time,
it's a very it's just relaxing. You know, it's just makes you want to kick back and relax and just, you know, have a good time. And I think, you know, music is coming back to that, to a little bit softer, easy listening, you know, kind of out with the rap and in with the new. So it's, I can see it, you know, climbing the charts. It's going to do awesome.
And, also, we have I have my EPK, it's an electronic press kit, actually, with like a 5-minute interview. It's on YouTube, Maserati Rick Jr. EPK, or you can either look at it on my website at MaseratiRickJr.com. Also, it should come up if you type those exact words in, pretty much, and check out, you know, the interview with people speaking on my behalf as far as my music and, you know, the style of music that I'm bringing to the music world or whatever.
Oh, man. That's what's up, nephew. And we want you to chill for a minute, nephew. And like I said, we're leaning back, and we're going to go to another hot track of another artist who supports me in the wife movement. And his name is OG Suicide, and we're coming with the Never Give Up track. Hang in there.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect.
I love you.
You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused.
don't give up, you know, never give up, no matter what it is in life. You can't give up on anything. That's real, you know what I mean? So just keep your shot going, all y'all, you know. I look forward to coming to the game one day, NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there, all right? Okay, loved ones, y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Go ahead with your dream to achieve in your life. Chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it. And to this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Don't let it hold you down. You gotta get up. Leave all your dreams. Never give up. Never, never give up. You gotta keep on touching.
Radio show worldwide, and we still kicking it right here with Nephew, and we want you to hold tight, Nephew. We're going to go to one more track, and we're going to come back to you and spend this night off, you feel me? And we're going to go to All For You by Kendall Day out of Detroit.
Everything is all for you. All for you. All for you. Everything I do, it is all for you.
Baby, it's all
everything
for
you. Heard from your girl you was hitting the club, so I'ma show some extra love, and I'ma get fresh as fuck for you tonight. And I'ma make sure everything's brand new. Everything's touching my body is brand new. See the mirror, don't lie. Feeling like that guy tonight, so.
From the ballet, seven cent bottles of Moscato and a rosé. All out, it was okay, okay, okay.
So baby, what you gonna do for me? Cause
everything is all for you. All for you.
All for you.
All for you.
You.
Everything I do in the club tonight. Everything is all for you.
All for you.
All for you.
Everything I do in the club tonight.
Everything is all for you.
VIP never felt so lovely. Drinks never looked so bubbly. Don't you just love me? From the club to the telly, what's up? Private suite, can't nobody interrupt. Perfect night for the both of us. And this is how we started out. I'm loving everything you do for me. That's why
everything is all for you. All for you.
All for you.
All for you. Everything
hey.
I do in the club tonight.
Baby, it's all.
Everything
you.
Is all for you.
Baby, it's all
for you.
The cars, the clothes, the way that it goes.
All for you.
You know that it's all for you, baby.
Everything is all for you.
The cars, the clothes, the way that it goes.
All for you.
You know that it's all for you, baby.
Everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you.
All for you.
All for you.
Everything I do in the club tonight. Baby, it's all for you.
Everything is all for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets and Love You Back. And that's my man, Kendall Day, out of Detroit, Michigan, off of Grand Slam Records. You feel me? And we right back with nephew, young Maserati Rick Jr. in the house. What's good, nephew?
What's up, man?
That
was a hot joint right there. I'm sitting there right there. That's smooth.
My
that's
man.
That grown up
yeah.
right there. I like that.
Yeah, that's that grown and sexy thing, nephew. We got to keep that always in the mix. You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So what you want to let the people know, nephew, as far as, you know, we know we got the you got the book jumping off and you got the documentary jumping off, but the all-around picture, man, you know what I mean? What do you want people to perceive from you, man, not just as an artist but as an individual?
As an individual, man, pretty much just, you know how people just take everything for face value? You know, you got to look, you got to, you know, look deeper into the person and where they come from, because that will let you know a lot about their character and their what type of person they is and what principles they live by and morals and everything, because, you know, families that I come from, it's been... It has like sort of a bad and good name as far as, you know, publicly, you know, my mom, drug conviction, my dad, drug dealer. So, of course, people assume I was going to follow those same footsteps. But what I want people to know is that was the last thing that was on my mind was following, being a follower. You know, I always... did my own thing, like I said, and that's pretty much, I've been being original, being true to myself, and just staying positive, pretty much, and just doing my own thing, and not really not being a follower, man. That's really pretty much it, just being a leader and, you know, stand down for what I believe in and trying to, you know, spread the word of the positive message instead of, you know, feeding people this negative stuff that's already, it's already an overload of, you know.
Amen.
I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, it's already overloaded that. Why would I be a part of that, you know?
My man, nephew. That was definitely a good look for him, nephew. And I'm going to pass the mic over. And we got to okay, then. So we still kicking it here live. You know, we got you on the air, 4011. Last four digits, 4011, you on the air.
It's Dennis again. I'm still hanging in there with y'all listening.
My man. Yeah, so you go ahead and give your last shout-outs, man, and your last words to the people.
All right, I want to shout out to Cincinnati, Ohio, and y'all for having Rick on today. And I would like to shout out the whole team, Isaiah Rick Jr., Carter Cash, Chris Serp, Master of the Crab Entertainment, Jamil, and me, D. Bilton Jr., Bilton Media Group. Now, we got a lot of positive things coming out of our campaign 2013, and Isaiah Rick Jr. is the face of everything. We focus on branding him and using his dad in a positive light and stuff and reaching out to the community, but we focus on his music, and we make sure that Rick take over the music industry as his dad did in the drug industry. Because he really is a rapper's dream, because everything that everybody talk about in their music, as far as hip-hop and rap, like, he really lived it. He really went through it. Like, he's seen it all, and he really experienced it. So it's only right he tell his side of the story.
Without a doubt, man. And like I say, we appreciate that. You feel me? And, you know, we just appreciate people that's keeping it 100 and it's down with nephew to push him to the next page. And we definitely going to do our part on this end as far as pushing his music on our radio show and letting it get heard worldwide and other stations pick it up as well. So we definitely loving it, you know what I mean? Loving the music, you know, just loving nephew for stepping up to the plate and breaking the ball and chain, not wanting to be no major drug dealer, you know what I mean? That picture already done been played, you feel me? So it's good that he didn't even want to jump off in them pair of shoes. You feel me? So it's a good look, nephew, and we're loving you, baby, over here. And we thank God for the team that you got going, man. You feel me?
Me too, man. Shout out to Dennis, man. D. Belton and Ray, man. Ray Carter Cash, man. For real.
My man. So we're going to go to a next caller for their shout outs and see if they want to shout out. We're going to go to, all right. So we live right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, all the way live, you know. And I think the night is over with. We done had a great night with nephew. And nephew, we're going to give you the last word before we boogie out.
Pretty much, man, everybody out there, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Rob, and, you know, the missus for having me on the show. It's been a great way to open up 2013 and be on the lookout for anything coming from Maserati Rick Jr. Again, go follow me on Twitter, Maserati Rick Jr., Instagram, Maserati Rick Jr., my fan page on Facebook, Maserati Rick Jr. You can even add me on my personal page, Richard E. Carter Jr. Keep listening out for that brown sugar, and pretty much just keep looking out for other things to come from me and the my whole camp that we working with, and Rob, man, just appreciate everything and keeping the dream alive with, you know, with everything from back in the day, you know, keeping it going.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, your mama wrote me, man, and you know, she asked me to reach out to you. You feel me? And,
right.
You know, I did that, you feel me? And like I said, you know, once she shot the kite to me, it was just about right to reach out to you, man, because I was there when you was born, you feel me? And
right.
Me and your daddy and them were still in cars and playing in dirt pies in elementary school before you was even thought of, you know? So
right,
it's like,
right.
you know, Rick looking down on me right now saying, good look, you feel me? So it's all good, man, you know what I'm saying? And Greg and Clyde and everybody else looking saying, yeah, you know, that's my man Lil Rob, you dig, he's sad all day, and he watching out for Nephew because Nephew want to do music. Rob and his wife got the radio show, the TV shows, and they going to open the avenue up for Nephew, bottom line.
Right, and again, for anyone that's, I don't know, you know, my mom, I want to give a super, super duper special shout out to my mom, Tracy Collins. She's incarcerated right now on a 20-year sentence. She's been in their pen. She's at Huron Valley Correctional Facility in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Her number is, you know, her ID number is 465-699. And then anybody want to look her up and write her a letter, just, you know, it would be greatly appreciated from me and especially her because she definitely needs that love being, you know, being where she's at right now. So, you know, anybody feel free to write her, send her a birthday card, her birthday August 21st, Christmas card, Valentine's Day card, whatever. She's gonna definitely appreciate that. So, you know, that's another thing. And stay positive, everybody out there. You know, keep God first forever and always.
Without a doubt, man. And I just want to give my last shout out to the whole Carter family, you feel me? And my boy Maserati, you know, rest in peace, player, and Clyde, and everybody, man. And know that Nephew in good hands all day, man. We're going to help him push this thing to the limit. You know, we kicked the door in with this 2013 with him on the Streets Don't Love You Back hottest radio show worldwide. So it's on and popping, man. And with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic to the missus for her last words or any updates of what we have going on. And we just going to do it like that, you know. So everybody hang with us till we drop the ball.
All right, and I just wanted to thank you, Rick, for coming on the show tonight and thank all of the guests that were in the chat room, all of those who called in to just listen, all those who made remarks. You know, we appreciate all of your support, and thank you for giving Rick all your support. You know, please join us live here every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time, and all of our episodes can be archived 24/7. We have a lot of really hot shows over the last 3.5 years. We're coming in our 4th year here real soon. And a lot of amazing shows, a lot of amazing testimonies. And, you know, we just ask you to listen to some of them once in a while when you get a chance and spread that message that the streets don't love you back. And, you know, that's what we're out here doing, educating the kids, the youth, and some of the adults about the dangers of gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse. Keep God in your life, keep your family in your life, and keep each other close by. And we just want to thank you once again. We'd like to just wish everybody a happy new year, 2013. It's going to be great. So please join the movement at our website. You can Google us, The Streets Don't Love You Back, thestreetsdontloveyouback.com, or thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. You can find us. Like I said, just Google The Streets Don't Love You Back and you'll find us. We're everywhere out there on the net. It'll link you to our radio show, our TV shows that we have, and various charities that we do. We help the homeless. We have a yearly Christmas drive. There's just a lot of things that we're doing to give back, to help educate, and to help empower other people, to lift other people up, to encourage people to change your life, make a difference in your life that, you know, that you can succeed. And so also, just so that you know, we're starting out the new year with something new as well, and we will be having 30-second and 60-second radio spots here on the show. So if you have a book, a song, a business, anything that you want to get out here on the airwaves, a 30-second spot is $10 and a 60-second spot is $15. And you can find all that information on our website as well, or email us, give us a call, and we'll get with you on that. And we'll get you out here and get you noticed on the air. So we just, again, thank everybody for your support. Let's get ready for 2013. It's going to be great. So we are going to go out tonight with just one more song, once again, from Detroit. Kendall Day, Lost Without You, Grand Slam Records. Good night, and we'll meet you back here next week.
I like that. It's Kendall Day. Lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Baby, tell me how you love me more. How you think I'm sexy, baby? You don't want this guy, you don't want that guy. You wanna touch yourself when you see me. Tell me how you love my body, how I make you feel, baby. You wanna roll with me, you wanna hold with me. You wanna stay warm and get out of the cold with me. I just love to hear you say it. It makes a man feel good, baby. I need to hear it because
sunny days, everybody loves them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain?
Can you stand the rain?
Storms will come.
Yeah, yeah.
This we know for sure.
This we know
tell me,
for
baby,
sure.
Can you stand the rain?
I can, so I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma do you like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it last. Like I never had it last.
Tell me you won't break my heart.